With a theme that we had last week, where we were looking at just kind of as a device to help us dive into God's Word, some lessons from Labradors, and we're in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 29 and 30, but. As we get started this morning, I just want to ask you, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? We are talking about walking with Jesus, about being in his presence, seeing what only God can do. And there's nothing better than going for a walk. But to set this up, we're going to ask for a little help from Max.
Max, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go for a walk?
That's about enough of that. But oh, to see it that way. Every morning, our loving Lord prompts us, do you want to go for a walk? We have places to go with him, places only he can show us. And because he is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him, we want to go every day. Life just gets more interesting as we let God drive. I always wanted a dog in my back window. I just didn't know he'd be that big. But there is nothing more beautiful than seeing what God alone can do in a life. And that's what we want to reach for in our lives, in the lives of those we love. Redemption is a beautiful thing. And we are to leave childish ways behind us. And step out. Well, oh, I don't know about you, but the struggle I face moment by moment is with self-focus. Our home backs up on the Eno River State Park, and we're not too far from Sennett's Hole. How many of you have ever been there before? You've been to Sennett's Hole? You know it's a nice spot on the river. About a quarter-mile hike will take you there, and it's a picturesque bend in the river that's framed by some old-growth trees, some old sycamores, and some granite in places, and there was a mill there once back in the 1700s. That's how it got its name. Actually, the founding pioneer Sennett died in floods that converged during spring rains. And every so often, we'll see a search and rescue team there still, because there's a hydraulic that occurs underneath the water when the river's a little higher. So you need to be careful there, but usually it's much calmer. And one summer afternoon some years back, Jeff and I were headed down to the water with Bear, my 115-pound black lab. And Jeff and Bear were kind of hopping from one boulder to the other, and I made it across to the other side. And there's a rope swing way across from where we normally go in. And I called to them from across the hole. And as soon as my voice reached the other side of the water, I heard a splash. As soon as Bear heard my voice, he jumped in and started to swim across the water. And I actually, you know, it was a ways across, and he's kind of panting out there halfway through. So I swam out to meet him, and we swam back together. And I mention that because I loved him for it. You know, as soon as he heard my voice, he had to be where I was. And there's a lesson in there somewhere. You know, I wasn't even calling him, but he had to be where I was. And in my heart, sinful and messed up as I am, could go out to a dog, how much more would the heart of a loving Father in whose image we're made go out to us with the slightest effort to draw near to him? That is the message of the cross. He loved us first. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son in his atoning sacrifice for our sins. So last week we looked at how God loves us deeply and dearly and wants us to come to him and is a rewarder of those who seek him. And today we're going to continue this theme of walking with him and go after it a little more in the context of what it means to keep company with God moment by moment. Our text is short. Here it is in John chapter 3. The friend belongs to the bridegroom. This is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, speaking. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. Now, John the Baptizer was living for something more. And you see it there. He was longing for the kingdom of God, waiting for it, watching for it, joyful, because he saw it breaking in. And the context is worth noting. What's going on here is that there's a group of people, John's disciples, who have noticed that more people are starting to go to Jesus' disciples. And they come to John about it, and what is this? And John cuts to the heart of the matter and says, it's not about me. He must become greater. I must become less. And that's a good place for us to go this morning, because the challenge of living with God in the moment is that, isn't it? He must become greater. I must become less. Just letting him in. You know, it's a little more easy for us to do that when we're having problems and going through a difficult time. But it's in those other times, especially when things are going well. What if in those places we welcome God's presence all the more? You know, the difference it can make. The Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that it is isn't just meant to be said as something that we recite verbatim. Yes, it's great for that, but it can be a great model to help us as we pray, sort of phrase by phrase. And you think of what it begins with, hallowed be thy name, right? It begins with honoring God, with praising him. Then it has what God wants at heart, your kingdom come. And only later does it go to give us this day our daily bread, help us with our daily needs. And I believe there's a reason for that. When we praise God first, when we go to that place of honoring God and acknowledging who he is, it builds our faith. And it strengthens us and helps us as we pray. It helps us in the requests that we are making. But to do that, it draws us out, doesn't it? He must become greater. I must become less. It was John Calvin who called the heart a perpetual factory of idols. And sometimes our idols are so subtle, they can hardly seem like sin at all. We lose our focus and we get out of touch. I'm helped by what Oswald Chambers wrote about this passage of being the friend of the bridegroom. Chambers wrote, "Our only task is to maintain a vital connection with Jesus Christ, seeing that nothing interferes with it. Only occasionally is it a matter of obedience, yet most of our life is not spent in trying to be consciously obedient, but in maintaining this relationship, being the friend of the bridegroom." Being his friend. Just being his friend. Jesus shows us why keeping this connection is so vital. Here are his words in John chapter 15, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's kind of a hard thing for us as self-sufficient people to hear. But what if? What if? I look at this passage as saying that. What if? What if we live more connected? What if we long for and look for and ask for what only God can do? What if we live more plugged into that reality, welcoming his presence into the moment? What will we see? What transformation will occur? Frank Laubach was a Christian missionary who was a missionary to the Muslim Moro people of the Philippines, and he's best known for his literacy method. Frank was a Princeton grad who invented this literacy method that has been used to teach people how to read in over 300 different languages. It's a nonverbal literacy method. It's an amazing thing. Laubach also wrote a little book. It's a lesser-known book called The Game with Minutes, in which he tells about a systematic attempt to live with Jesus, literally minute by minute. Now, Laubach called it a game in order to be a little more lighthearted about it. Because you know how that is. When it comes to prayer, sometimes people immediately get intimidated. You know, they think, oh, yeah, that's not my thing. Maybe that's for preachers or, you know, really religious people. But the truth is, if we read Scripture, that is the norm for the Christian life. That is what it means to remain in him. Some versions translate this, abide in me. And so it isn't a matter of simply the words we say. It is a matter of the heart that we come back to again and again. And Laubach called it the game with minutes as a way of sort of challenging himself and others to try more and more to stay in God's presence as they go through the day. So, how do you play? By trying to call God to mind at least once each minute, 1 second out of 60, and to keep working at it more and more until it just comes naturally. Laubach wrote about this, "Your score will be low at first, but keep trying, for it constantly becomes easier." Just being with Jesus becomes more natural for us because this is who we are. We were born again for this. This is the work of the Spirit of God in our souls to draw us closer to him. And if you'll forgive the analogy, excuse me, some dogs won't go near the water. They won't go near it at all. But Labs were born for it. They were descended from Newfoundlands. Newfoundlands, you may know, were originally bred to rescue shipwreck survivors off the coast of Newfoundland. Now, if you take a look at both breeds, they have webbed paws, and they have thick tails that actually serve as rudders in the water. What a greyhound is on land, a lab is in the water. They're amazing swimmers. So I remember the first time that Max stepped into the water and went in over his head. He went down for a minute, he came up sputtering, and then I couldn't get him out. He loved it. To this day, you know, when we do our 3-mile walk run by the Eno, and we do this kind of funny thing where I have two sticks, and I think I've told you before that I throw one, he gets it, and then he drops it ahead of me on the trail. And then when I get to it, I throw the next one, pick it up, and we keep going, just keep leapfrogging down the trail that way. But the thing about Max, I mean, sometimes I just have to keep him from jumping into the water. It's always a good day for a swim. Doesn't matter how cold it is. You and I are spiritual creatures. You and I were created to be in God's presence, to know Him, to love Him. It may seem a little jarring at first. Laubach recalled, "Now I like God's presence so much that when for a half hour or so he slips out of mind, as he does many times a day, he's being honest, I feel as though I had deserted him, and as though I had lost something very precious in my life. Something very precious." If you read our Daily Bread this past week, you'll notice that some of these themes correlate closely with what was in there. On Monday, there was a piece by my friend Soshi Dixon about a friend who had cancer. And her friend had called her, and she was praying for her, and she ran out of words. And all she could do in the moment was simply pray, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And somehow in that moment, God's peace came. Tuesday, Bill Crowder's piece asked this question from Alice in Wonderland: "How long is forever?" And the answer was, "Sometimes just 1 second." You think about it, life can slow to that, can't it? And if we learn to be with God in those seconds, in those moments, oh, the difference it makes, regardless of our circumstances. Bill wrapped up his piece by saying, "In our seemingly endless moments of struggle, his unfailing love will carry us. We can rejoice in his salvation." So Laubach, after this experience of years of being in God's presence, writes the benefits. He actually called them prizes in the game with minutes. Here's some of the things he found. We develop what Thomas A. Kempis called a familiar friendship with Jesus. Our unseen friend becomes dearer, closer. All we undertake is done better and more smoothly. We have daily evidence that God helps our work, piling one proof upon another until we are sure of God. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, where you start the day without prayer because you've got so much to do, and then you realize that you've got to stop and pray, or you're not going to get anything done at all? That's what he's talking about. When we are playing this game, our minds are pure, he writes. Hey, there are certain places you're not going to go if Jesus is right there, right? Fourth, the Bible and Christian music, this is his lyric, his word, begin to sparkle with new life and meaning for us. You know how that is. Sometimes there are messages that God has specifically for you. And you discover them as you're staying close and you realize, you know, someone said the coincidences seem to happen more frequently when we pray. Next, we are contented through the day because Jesus is with us. It becomes easier to tell others about Christ because our minds are flooded with him. And then lastly, grudges, jealousies, hatred, and prejudices melt away. And that is a beautiful thing. You know, I think about the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and there it is, this ministry in the heart of the city. We just watched this incredible sermon from Jim Cimbala called My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer. But here is a multiracial ministry in the heart of the city that is that way because prayer is at the heart of the church itself. And as that happens, we find we love each other. We truly love each other. Other things become secondary. Now, Laubach, who was likely a genius, concludes with this thought. Genius is 90% concentration. This game eventually results in new flashes of brilliant thought which astonish us and keep us tiptoe with expectancy for what God will do next. Laubach is not overpromising. This is what happens when we stay connected to our Savior, connected to the one who is the source of all life. His creative life and genius even can flow into us. Even us. Imagine what can happen as we lean into him, as we decrease. And he increases. Think about what was observed about the disciples by the high council in Jerusalem. This was said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's amazing how in just a moment, God is able to give us exactly what we need, not just to get through the day, but to get through circumstances that we've struggled with for years. Suddenly, his peace and his presence come, and we see things. The situation hasn't changed, but we change. And he gives us this hope to go on that we never had before, and we think, where's that come from? And it isn't long before we understand that it is this love and power that is able to truly do more than we ask. As we stay close, just be his friend. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but as on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. One more story before we close, but this time not about a Labrador. You're probably dog tired of those. This one's about my other buddy, My 3-year-old grandson, who in his own little way really loves me. A little while ago, he was visiting our house, and he and his mama were visiting, and I had to leave the house. I had to run some errands, and as I walked out of the room where he was, he started to cry. So immediately I came back into the room. I didn't want him to cry, and I played with him for a moment, spent some time with him, and then I tried to leave again. The same thing happened. So I went back and, you know, did what grandparents or parents do. I tried to distract the kid, and then I sort of tried to surreptitiously leave. And sure enough, it happens again. And at that point, my daughter looks at me and she says, "Dad, why don't you just take him with you?" And that's exactly what I did. You know, if our God is so good that he loves us and wants our company, isn't that what he said? "Call to me and I will answer you. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," his word tells us. It's his invitation to us. And what if we cry out all the more? Our Heavenly Father wants to take us with him, and he will show us things. Just imagine what he is able to do. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He is able to help those who are being tempted. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. And he is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault. Just imagine that. And with great joy. Oh, to be with him. To be with him. Even now. Just one question remains. Do you want to go for a walk? May we pray. Lord, help us to hunger after you, to long for you, to just want to be with you, Father. Thank you for the beauty of all that you are. Father, thank you for giving us so generously your Son. Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for us, to set us free and bring us into life. Lord, we ask for grace to draw near to you, to love you, to walk with you. In your name.